welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead now and prepare to minister the Word of God. And as we do that, we're going to be taking a look at a passage of Scripture found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." I love that. This is such a powerful passage of Scripture. It reminds us who we're looking unto: Jesus. He is our focal point. He's the one who began this work in us. He's the one who's going to complete it in us. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. But we see something very profound about Jesus while he was still here down in the earth. Verse 2, it says, "For the joy," who? Talking about Jesus. "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." Here's that phrase in a few different translations. The Amplified: "He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, despising and ignoring the shame." Darby: "Who, in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame." Good News: "Because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought of nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross." All right, this is a paraphrase, but this is the message. And this will tell it straight. "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God." And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I so love that. You know, a lot of times when somebody is very successful, we say, "What's the secret of your success? What's that one key, that one deal?" Well, we see a certain key here, don't we? Jesus had a certain key. How did you despise the shame? How did you go through all that? For the joy that was set before him. The joy that was something about the joy. The joy. You know, Jody just had a word from the Lord about the joy this morning, shaking off the spirit of heaviness. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How did Jesus get through that? The joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. He drew strength from the joy that was set before him. He was able to endure the cross and despise the shame. You know, a lot of times when you think about the joy that is set before you, the joy that was set before him, you got to realize, especially looking back in the life of Jesus, he was a man acquainted with sorrows, griefs. He had people on his tail just trying to trap him in his words. Everywhere he went, he experienced persecution. He experienced all those different things. The joy we're talking about is not the joy of circumstances lining up. It's not the joy of everybody liking you. It's the joy of something that is very substantive. It is the joy of something that's absolutely sure, and it's set before you. Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus didn't wonder. He knew that he was going to be with the Father again. And because he knew that, he knew this, that his time down here was very temporary. He endured it for the joy that was set before him, gave him tremendous enduring strength. Praise God. You know, there's a joy that's set before us too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God. You know, God didn't send Jesus to start up another religion. He sent him as a real Savior. And there is an inheritance, the Bible says, reserved in heaven, uncorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away for you. Is that real to you? You know, it's one thing to endure grief, shame, all the things that you go through, and to do it without a joy that is set before you. I think sometimes, at least what I've just kind of noticed, is we don't often emphasize enough the reality of heaven, the reality of where we're going. There's a joy that's set before us. Jesus knew where he was going. And there was something about knowing where he was going. There was a joy that was set before him that gave him the grace. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a joy that's set before you. There's a joy that is set before you that does those things that it did for Jesus. Imparts strength and hope, encouragement, and the ability, praise God, to get through. Now, when I'm talking about, you know, heaven and the future and where God's going, I'm not talking about a kind of sweet by-and-by mentality that kind of shirks our responsibility till then. No, I'm talking about a joy and an anticipation of the glory that's to come that gives you the endurance to get through the here and now. Praise God. You think of those little kids in Haiti. How could they tolerate that existence? They're worshiping in the joy of the Lord and a joy that is set before them. They know their God. It's amazing when God is real and that joy is real. What you can endure, what you can come through. Jesus was able to endure the worst thing because of the joy that was set before him. We have a joy that is set before us. And when you look at the Apostle Paul, he really, you know, because sometimes it's like, oh, you got to live in the here and now. Don't be thinking about heaven. No, you need to think about heaven. In fact, the Bible says, set your mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's heaven. What happens when you set your mind on heaven? Heaven becomes real. There is joy. There is excitement. It brings focus, purpose, joy, strength to your life. Paul was shameless in his look there. He put it this way in Titus. He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The grace of God teaches us there is an anticipation, a looking for the glorious appearing. He's coming again. He's coming again. There is a glorious anticipation. There's a joy that is set before us. And this morning, I just want to look at the joy that is set before you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, there is a joy that is set before you that will give you the strength and excitement and sense of purpose, I mean, that will absolutely get you through. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. You know, in so much of our Christian walk, yeah, there's suffering, long, being kind,
laying aside the weights and sins that so easily beset you, different things like that, for the joy that is set before you. Praise God. We get through things and we keep the right divine perspective for our lives. So the joy that is set before you, first of all, we got to realize there is a joyful perspective in life. One of the things that I just so love about the Word of God is just the incredible perspective that we get. I wanted to throw this C.S. Lewis quote in real quick here too. C.S. Lewis, he's a famous Christian author. He said this. He said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in this world. There is a motivating joy when you see it, when it's real, when heaven is your home and you know it and you're excited for it. Again, it produces a joyful perspective, put it that way. The Apostle Paul was so emphatic about it. He put it this way. He said, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also those who've fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most pitiable. I love that. He didn't mince words. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, this gospel, what we're doing down here, this is not a social change thing. We're not trying to, this is real eternal stuff. He said, either heaven's real or it isn't real. Either Jesus was raised from the dead, and you're going to be raised from the dead, and you're going to enjoy that eternal life, or this whole thing is phony and it's fake. I love that. It's real. It's true. This is not a game. This is eternal life. And salvation is an opportunity. Jesus died on that cross, like we said, not to start up another religion, but that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's for real. It's true. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He's talking about a perspective. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live out of the flesh, it means fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I love that. The Apostle Paul, a man of advancing years at the time of, writing Philippians, he's going, I know that to die and to be with Christ is better, but I'm going to hang around here because you guys need me a little bit longer. There's a man who at the end of his life isn't feeling worthless and helpless. He's a man who really knows that he's got a divine purpose on the inside of him, and he realizes his own sense of value. Isn't that incredible? I mean, here's a guy who had been caught up to the third heaven. He'd been there. And you read 2 Corinthians 12, and he came back. God permitted him a supernatural experience. And he came back. And to think that he knew the glory of heaven, thought, I'm going to stick around here because I know I'm going to have fruit. You think about even the video of Haiti. That's fruit. People coming to Christ. I mean, this is only one time shot at this kind of fruit here. A few years, we're just about, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. That's about, I worked it out on my calculator, it's about 41 years an hour in God time. Most of us have got about an hour or so left here, or two, whatever your age is. But in God time, we're down here for a very short period of time. We're all going to be, united together in it. And just to realize this is precious time. A sense of perspective. Yeah, I'm going through some stuff down here, but this is such a tiny bit of my existence is down here. Majority of my existence is in eternity with him. It's a divine perspective when I see the joy that is set before me. Time is short. I can endure. I can put up with this. I can put up with this for a few more minutes. Revelation 20:10. Here's another joyful perspective. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast, the false prophet are. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan, your adversary who goes about as a roaring lion, he's a temporary problem. You will not have to deal with his roars forever and ever and ever. Very temporary. Yeah, you got it to endure right now, and you got to resist it, and you got to deal with it, but it's temporary stuff. There's a joy that is set before you. This is part of the joy that is set before me in my joyful perspective, is that Satan is a temporary problem. And I'm not going to let him overwhelm me. I'm not going to let him devour me. I'm not going to let him cast off my purpose that God has put in my heart to do while I'm down here on the earth. No, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And no temporary roaring devil is going to talk me out of it. I'm going for it. There's a divine, a joyful perspective when you got the joy that's set before you and it's real and heaven is real and God is real and his plan for your life is real. Praise God. No devil is going to talk me out of it. His time is temporary. I know where he ends up. I know where I end up. Why would I let him talk me out of anything? No way. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to answer the bell. And I'm going to get back up and I'm going to answer the bell. And if I fall for his little lie 50,000 times, I'll get up 50,001 times. I'm not going to let that devil in any way, temporary, being influence me. He has a temporary influence in my life. And when I see that big picture, that joyful perspective, he's a temporary problem. Apostle Paul puts it this way too. I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. For I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. I think that's the Amplified. You know, things that are also sufferings, things that we're going through down here. We, you know, the flesh, the world, and the devil, you think of. We talked about the devil. What about the flesh and the world? We've got worldly persecution, sufferings going on, all kinds of forces that are trying to knock you away from your faith in Christ. These are very temporary. Love walk. Think, oh, I've got to walk in love. Yeah, you know, even your love walk, suffering long and being kind in your love walk, relationships, kind of keeping things together as you're walking, that's temporary. Praise God. That other person will be so secure when they're in heaven. And you will be so secure when you're in heaven. And all the petty little games will be done. Praise God. The Bible said, Paul says, there's a law of sin and death in our members that wars against the law of our mind. We're in fallen bodies, mortal bodies, because of sin. And these things talk to us. Even as Christians, they talk to us. So we got to realize that this is temporary. Praise God. You know, you are, you know, those sufferings, the things that you're going through, it is a temporary deal. That's encouraging. And not only that, but not only the sufferings are temporary, but they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in you. Why does the Bible tell us that? Wants us to think about it. Wants us to be encouraged. That's joy that's set before you. There's a glory that's going to be revealed in you. Think about that. It'll make you happy. It'll make you joyful. It'll make you think that these sufferings just aren't that big of a deal. I can endure the cross. I can despise the shame. I can get through the stuff I got to get through here. Relationship, financial, circumstantial, whatever. Hey, I'm headed for glory. And I can't even compare with the stuff I'm going through right now. There's a joy that's set before me. There's a divine perspective that gives me grace to go another day and go another day. I'll tell you what, some of the toughest times, some of the glorious things even in your life, you look back at those hard times that you made it through and stayed steady. There's a glory on the other side, even down here in our little paradigm of our world. Imagine the kind of experience you're going to have in heaven. Praise God. There is a supernatural perspective. Apostle Paul was so developed in that perspective. He said, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. All right? That's the Holy Spirit testifying. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Wow. All these things, you know, in other words, the enemy is roaring in his ear, I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do this to you, and I'm going to do this to you, and you're going to get stoned here, and you're going to get whipped there. And Paul's like, yeah, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to do exactly what God has told me to do. You can hit me with your best shot. I am not scared. I am not moved. I'm finishing my course with joy. That's tough talk. That's tough talk from somebody who has a joy that's set before him, who knows why he's down here, and he isn't scared off. by the flesh, the world, and the devil. He's got a call, and he's going to do it. He's got a divine perspective. None of these things move me. You don't start out that way. You get there. You get there as you begin to see the joy that is set before you. And that joy that is set before, the more real that joy is, the more real where you're going is, my goodness, it's amazing. That's why believers, newborn believers, have some of the biggest impact. Heaven is so real. Praise God, it is a real place. Jesus did die on the cross. My sins were on that cross, I believe. The peace is real. The forgiveness is real. Heaven is real. Instantly, there's a joy. And that's what the enemy, the flesh, the world, and the devil try to erode, even as we're growing, is to distance ourselves from that reality. Oh, it's real. We are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Not only is there a joyful perspective, but there's also the joy, what would you say, the joy of exceeding grace. This is pretty amazing. The Apostle Paul says, and he's raised us up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amplified. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. This is really amazing. The Bible says we know in part. We don't know everything yet. In case you haven't realized that. We don't know everything yet. And you know what? We're not supposed to know everything yet. We are supposed to live by faith. Don't think that you're going to get in your prayer closet and get revelation on everything. You're not going to. Because, in fact, Paul, when he got to the third heaven and he was up in there, third heaven, the Bible says he heard things that were unlawful to speak down here on the earth. You know in part by design. There is knowledge that's illegal to be down here. You have to know in part, and you have to walk by faith. And it is in the divine plan of God. You're going to see some things at a high level. But the Bible says then you're going to know fully someday, even as you're known of God. But it's going to take the ages to come as he unveils the exceeding riches of his grace. And you think, oh, I know about grace. I'm saved by grace through faith. That's the beginning part of grace. You're going to know the goodness of God in measures beyond your comprehension right now, your ability to comprehend. We were at the fireworks the other night with Abby. Really, she's been into fireworks before, but she's 4. And now she's like really taking things in, just really experiencing them deep down. And so she's seeing these little fireworks go off as we're heading toward the actual big display. And then as they get going, just about a few different fireworks into it, they light off a big one. She goes, whoa, that's the biggest one ever. And then, about 4 more, they do some super duper thing. She goes, that's the biggest one ever. And she must have said that about a half dozen times. No. And that's what we're going to be doing from the ages to come. Saying, no, that's as good as God can possibly get. No, that's as good as his grace. Wow. Some of this stuff we can't put into words right now. We kind of get glimpses at a high level. It's going to take ages to come to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. One of the great enjoyments that I had was just watching Abby watch the fireworks. And one of the great pleasures your heavenly Father is going to have is watching you watch the exceeding riches of his grace. It's going to be the joy of his heart to watch your expression on your face. There's a joy that's set before us that can get us through the small stuff down here. There's a joy that's real. It's a joy that Paul knew deep, deep down in his heart. Spiritual things are real. Heaven is real. We're going forward. We're going forward into something, and that joy is our strength. It imparts strength, the joy of the reality of where we're going. There is a joy of the exceeding riches of his grace. There's the joy, we'll just call it the joy of rewards. Jesus just talked very frankly about the reality of heaven. He just said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal. I mean, we could make a big deal of who's got the most money down here. That's not how God's books go up in heaven. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Stuff you do down here, obeying God. Lays up treasure up there. It's an amazing thing to think. Paul, in the Corinthians, he said, no other foundation can anyone lay which is laid, Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation, that's your salvation. If anyone builds on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work which he's built endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through by fire. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. You're not saved by your works. You're not saved by the fruit of your life. Now, praise God, the Bible says you're rewarded according to the fruit. Each one will receive a reward. I've thought about that. What does that mean? I'm going to get a reward. Think about it. This is really going to happen. This is part of the joy that's set before you. God's going to reward you, the Bible says, for deeds done in the body. He's going to somehow express a thank you to you. You know, the picture that the Lord put in my heart is when my, and actually bringing up Abby again, but a few weeks ago, I had my sermon here. I don't even know what the sermon was about, but somehow all of Abby's drawings got put into my printer. And the flip side of my message was all of Abby's artwork. It was so funny. And so I tucked that sermon away, you know, because of the artwork value on the back of it. And, you know, the thing of it that we're so enthralled about our little kids or grandkids' artwork is the fact when they do draw something for you, you know, they take their time with their crayons or markers or whatever, and they draw that thing, and then they give it to you because they're thinking of you when they give that to you. And they had you on their heart when they made it. And that's what makes it precious to your heart. It's not the content of the paper or the crayon, the mineral value of anything. It's the expression of their heart to you. And I don't know what it's going to look like when God rewards us for the deeds done in the body. But God's going to do some kind of expression to say thank you. It doesn't have to be a gold or a gem. That's irrelevant. God is going to reward you in some way. An expression of Him saying thank you to you for obeying in the here and now, for enduring the cross and despising the shame, keeping the big picture. There's a joy that's set before you. There's a thank you coming from your Heavenly Father. He understands what we're going through down here. Jesus in all points became like us, tempted in every point as we are. He's a sympathetic high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He gets it. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood. He knows what it's like to be talked about and gossiped about, and yet to not repay evil for evil. And as much as it is possible, it lies within you to live peaceably with all men, to feed your enemy, to give him water if he's thirsty, to, you know, not but give place to wrath and not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, to bless those who curse you, to do good to those who despitefully use you and hate you. He understands it. He gets that. He knows the mockery that the world puts on you for doing it too. But there's a joy that is set before you. And there's a light that shines when you do that. Even when you're mocked. It's good. Don't lose sight. God sees it. He knows. Praise God. I'll tell you what. And sometimes we as believers, if we don't have that joy that is set before us while we're doing those things, we can cop a spiritual victim complex and feel sorry for ourselves and feel misunderstood and da-da-da-da. You'll see people that aren't living for Christ anymore, that don't live for Christ. There are a lot of people that are just spiritually bitter because of things. They lost sight of the joy that is set before them. It's very hard to endure the cross and despise the shame without the joy that is set before you. I'm not just doing it to do it, to make somebody happy, so I'm going to keep my Christian status. That's a tough row to hoe. That's a heavy yoke. But there's a real joy that is set before you. And when you see the glory that's about to be revealed in you, man, okay, I'm going to forgive even as God in Christ has forgiven me. My goodness, I know where I'm going. This is just, my goodness, in a sense, really, I'm taking a knee. I'm running out the clock. I'm doing what God wants me to do down here. But as far as the shame and all that stuff, no, that's not going to get me off track. I know where I'm going. I know whose I am and where I'm going. Praise God. There is a reward. There's a joy reward. There's the joy. I like to call this the joy of Jesus' face. Scripture simply says in Revelation chapter 22, there should be no more curse. There should be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Praise God, they'll see his face. Think about that. The Bible says right now, whom having not seen, yet we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You've perceived his love through the preaching of the gospel of the cross. You've perceived the forgiveness of sins. You've perceived the revelation and understanding and the wisdom from the word. You've perceived his comforting presence. You've perceived him on so many different levels. But one day you're going to see face to face the one you've been perceiving all these years. That's a joy that is set before me. I remember when I was probably 19 years old, my mom and my brother got me this plaque. It's entitled, When I Come Home to Heaven. It says, When I come home to heaven, how joyful it will be, for on that day at last, my risen Lord I'll see. No greater happiness to see him face to face, to see the love in his eyes and feel his warm embrace. I've done nothing to deserve that perfect home above. It was given freely through the grace of Jesus' love. Then why should earthly cares weigh down on me, upon me so? They'll be a distant memory when home at last I go. Man, we've got the joy of Jesus' face. You're going to see his face. See him face to face. There is a joy. There is a joy that is before me. That is part of it. The joy of family. I love that. You know, the Apostle Paul describes the church this way. He says, For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What a beautiful depiction of heaven. It's really just part of where our other relatives live. We're a family that lives partly in the third heaven, right? And we call the third heaven, the way the Apostle Paul describes heaven, and earth right now. One family, two locations. And one day we're going to be reunited. There will be a family reunion, and then we'll be together forever and ever and ever. But think about that. It's family up there. That's going to be an amazing thing. I've got family. My mom is there right now. She went there June of last year. I look forward to seeing her there. It is amazing when people that you know, love, go to heaven. Heaven takes on a whole different kind of perspective. You know, it's not just this theological place. It's a real place where real people live. Praise God. The Apostle Paul said, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's important for you to realize the real you is not this body. This body is the car you drive around in. The real you is the spirit man on the inside. Right? Your car is not the real you. All right? I mean, your car only has life when you go out there and drive it around. When you go outside your car, for all practical intents and purposes, is dead. It has no life unless you're in it, driving it around. But you are you. And that's the way you are with the Spirit. This body is like the temporary car you're driving around in. But when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. The body without the Spirit is dead. But the Spirit goes to be present with the Lord. And that's important to realize. We've got family in heaven. We've got family on earth. It's important to realize they're there. They're enjoying life there in the presence of Almighty God. To die is gain. They experienced a gain. We experience a loss in the sense that we can't fellowship with them now in the way that we had been able to. But it's a temporary loss because we're ultimately going to be reunited with them forever. I think one of the things that we're going to do, you know, we only know a very small part of our family down here. You're going to see how big your family is. And I think we're going to hear some amazing testimonies of the goodness and the grace of God. We hear some down here, but I think we got all eternity. We're going to be hearing some of the amazing things and the grace of God. You're going to get introduced to family. You may be hanging out with people through millions of years that you've never seen here and now. There's family. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that sense of camaraderie of family? Boy, there's going to be the camaraderie of a spiritual family that loves you, knows you. And you know, even in the natural, sometimes if you don't have great family natural relationships, it's amazing how you'll connect with somebody spiritually. And it's like after 5-10 minutes of fellowship, you know, it's like they know you better than your natural family. You know, there's this spiritual family thing is amazing. It's intimate. It's warm. It's a camaraderie that you have. It's going to be part of the joy of your reward. You're going to be able to see the fullness of family. Let's call this the joy of a glorified body. You're going to get a brand new body. You know, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whom we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it will be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. In other words, this body is not designed in its mortal state, can't live forever. It will die. Unless the Lord comes back, we are all going to die a natural death, obviously, unless the Lord returns. But it's important to realize that one day, this vile body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's a pretty amazing thing. Now, we have some insight about his glorious body, because after Jesus was raised from the dead, he interacted on the earth for a while. One of the things that Jesus was able to do with his glorious body is that he was able to eat food. He hung out and ate fish with the disciples. Another characteristic that this glorious body could do is it had the ability to appear. I mean, the disciples were right there in the room, and he just appeared in their midst. And then he told Thomas, doubting Thomas, to touch him, thrust forth his hand in his side, and see that it was him. So you can appear and still have physical contact. We saw when he was in the road to Emmaus with the two followers, he was, you know, after the resurrection, they were sad, and he taught them, you know, the scripture and about how all these things needed to happen. And all of a sudden, their eyes were open. They saw it was Jesus, and he vanished. Pretty amazing. A glorified body, and probably one of the coolest things about the glorified body, apart from all that neat stuff, kind of that sci-fi stuff that's kind of hard to imagine, but is the fact that you're going to have a body that's no longer going to be fighting you. The Apostle Paul said, the law of sin and death, which is in my members, is warring against the law of my mind. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, ultimately, you are going to get a brand new body. He says, the inward man delights in the law of God. Well, you're going to have an outward man delighting in the law of God, an inward man delighting in God. Your spirit and your body are going to be in perfect harmony. That's going to be a pretty cool day. Think about that. I mean, your body fighting with those wrong appetites, that's gone. You know, if that's gone, you know, as we're present with the Lord, but now you're going to get a new body that's going to empower you to make contact with the physical earth. It's a powerful, glorified. These are things to look for. I'll tell you, I do that. When I'm fighting my flesh sometimes, I think, you know what? You are temporary. I'm going to have a glorified body one of these days. That temptation won't even exist anymore. Praise God. You are temporary. Glorified body is coming. Praise God. And then we'll just kind of see real quick here. Here's the event that the Bible talks about. You know, so also is the resurrection from the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, spiritual body. However, the spiritual isn't first, but the natural. Afterward, the spiritual. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We won't all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This is part of the joy that is set before us. We're going to put on immortality. Now, this is if we are alive. I mean, if we are alive, we'll experience that. That'll be a pretty amazing thing. You'll be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. A glorified body. And that's the cool thing. You know, the world doesn't understand us. They don't get us. You know, living your life for some God you can't even see instead of just enjoying some of the pleasures of the world and different things like that. But boy, there's such a joy that is so bigger and greater than any pleasure that this world has to offer. It's not even close. It's not even close. You know, I think of this event, and I was thought the other day, you know, the late Paul Harvey, he was a believer. He was a Christian. And I would just love to think that as we're all rising up in that moment to be with the Lord, that our Lord is going to permit him one last time to echo through the ages. And now you know the rest of the story. He's the rest of the story guy. You got to have that divine perspective. You got to see the big picture. But I'll tell you what, that's where we're going. And we need to know the rest of the story and have that rest of the story fresh here now in our hearts. The joy of reigning with Christ. Blessed is he who has part of the first resurrection over the second. Death has no power. They shall be priests to their God. They shall reign with him 1,000 years. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world be judged by you, are you worthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Again, wow, this is pretty amazing, kind of far out sounding stuff. But I'm telling you what, we're going to rule and reign with him. That's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, think about that. And you got the glorified body. We're going to be on the God side of the whole faith equation. You might appear to somebody and deliver the word of the Lord and vanish. You know, on the earth while you're ruling and reigning with Christ. Who knows? I mean, this is not doctrine. I'm just speculating. But you're ruling and reigning with him in a glorified body, you know, and it's pretty amazing to think there is just big stuff waiting on us. You can see, you know, the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I've kind of wondered, what is the devil? What is man that the devil is so mindful of him?
Come on.
We must be pretty scary things, you know, who God has really made us. I mean, to realize, man, we're ruling and reigning. We're destined to rule and reign with Christ. This is stuff. Can our minds go there? Is it all right? Well, he put it in the Bible. I guess so. I guess if we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, it's okay for us to think about this stuff too. Do you not know? I didn't know that, Paul. Okay. All right, we're going to judge angels. What's the point? How much more things that pertain to this life? Small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Praise God. You got some serious purpose in your life. This is some serious identification stuff in the here and now that will take place. And you won't be wigged and wagged by these little things. And what so-and-so thinks about that. And so, you know what? There's a joy that's set before you. Eternal purpose. Praise God. That you can endure that. And then finally, the joy of forever with God. I mean, really, this is, I'll tell you, this is what it's all about right here. The joy of forever with God. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Not just emotionally inspirational. They're true and they're faithful. And as they become true and truth, they become that joy and that rock and that fixed point that I'm looking unto. Praise God, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that are behind. Praise God. Little poem of heaven. Think of, this is just heaven. Think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Taking hold of a hand, finding it God's hand. Of breathing new air, finding it celestial air. Of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Of passing from storm to tempest to an unknown calm. Of waking up and finding it home. Oh, I love that. And there was a song, I meant to get the words, I didn't, but the basic chorus goes, when I wake up in the land of glory, I will see his face, you know. There will be no other name than the name of Jesus. When I wake up in the land of glory. That is such a beautiful phrase. I think of, again, my mom's passing last year. I had a chance to talk with her on July 11th. We sat up on the bedside for 2 hours. I tucked her in that night. And I said, I love you, Mom. She said, I love you, Eddie. And kissed her. I said, good night. She said, good night. She went to sleep. And it was 2 days later. She never woke up. Then 2 days later, she went home. And I've always thought, she woke up in the land of glory. When she woke up, she was home. It's like a little kid falling asleep in the car. And they're just driving. They don't even remember falling asleep in the car. And they wake up, and they're in their bedroom. You know? And we will wake up someday in that land of glory. When your faith will become sight, you'll see him face to face. There's a joy that is set before you. A joyful perspective, grace rewards the Lord's face, family, glorified body, ruling and reigning. Boy, we have cause to be joyful. Nothing I'm going through down here, life, death, past, present, created thing, can compare with the joy. And he says, enter into the joy of your Lord. That was Jesus' secret of success. That's what got him through the here and now, when he in all points became like us, experienced that temptation, despising the shame, the cross, for the joy that was set before him. That was his strength that got him through. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that is set before us today, that has been set before us. I pray, Lord, help us to be stirred up, even like that word earlier, to shake off that spirit of heaviness. Shake it off. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There is a joy that has been set before us. We have cause to be joyful. No matter what we're suffering, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh, Father, help us get a revelation of the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints in light. There is an inheritance in heaven, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved for you. Lord, as we've tried to unwrap it a little bit this morning, I pray your Holy Spirit will continue to unwrap it in each heart. That as we go through stuff, storms, trials, that hope, that joy, that contrast of eternity and the glory of it, Lord, would overshadow and give strength to each heart here. Lord, I thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've begun in us and that you will continue in us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that is set before me. I have great cause to be very excited about an eternal future that can't even compare with the small troubles I'm going through down here. I have grace for these troubles. They are temporary. Satan is temporary. My fallen flesh is temporary. Those relationship issues are temporary. You are eternal. Heaven is eternal. The glorified body is eternal. Our family togetherness is eternal. Those I miss, I won't miss for long. I'll be with them forever. I'll be with you forever. Face to face. These things are faithful. These things are true. This is my joy. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I'll serve you with the joy that's set before me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.